Very good to see the good number present today. And I pray that we can come to a better understanding of God's Word by studying it and hearing it preached and going through the Bible, and help us in our lives that we can live a better life. One of the things that I think without a doubt bothers us this day and time, so many people have no knowledge of God. They have no operation of in learning about Him or serving Him and doing what's right. Simply do not know and understand. I'm not sure exactly where I need to go today, but I want to kind of point something out to you. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Matthew a moment. And I want you to note that after Jesus was baptized, after he was tempted of Satan, he went forth and began to preach. And I want you to notice one thing. In chapter 5, we see verse 1, and I pointed this out one other time. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. So we see as he went up into the mountain, the disciples came to him. And as we read on in chapter 5 and 6, we understand in 7 that many came. And I wanted, before I get into what I want to point out, I want you to notice in chapter 8, verse 1. In chapter 8, in verse 1, we see when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. So in this time that he was in the upper mountain, there were many, many and multitudes that came to him and heard him preach and teach what we read in chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7 as he was teaching and preaching. And I know that from what I've studied, there's just verse after verses where I could go and teach a lesson. But I've chose, if you don't mind, to go to chapter 7. And let's look at verse 13 and 14. 13 and 14. He says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." As I looked at those two verses, and as I think of them, oh, it looks like we can see that in our day and time, can't we? The very fact that he has pointed out in this, it says, "Wide is the gate." And some, I think in some way or other, we see the way to hell is very easy to find. It's just simply do nothing and be there. And I think without a doubt, we see that that's the case. And maybe even Satan having some involvement in it, I don't know. You might turn just to, for a moment to the 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verse 4. It says here, well, I'll maybe read a little further. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Certainly, as we think of that, those who have entered, we see the easy part of entering into this broad way, and that's there. You might also see the fact in Romans chapter 1, as the Apostle Paul was writing there in verse 22. He says, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. As we read and think about that, Paul tells us that those who would not love God and enter his broad way, they'll go in the broad way. And the reason they'll go in the broad way is because they're fools. Sad as we think about it. And I think without a doubt, we also read there the reason and what will happen. Noticing that we see there, he says in he says end leads to destruction. In Proverbs, you might look at 14 in Proverbs, and he says that there in 14 and verse 12, the way, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of destruction. And sadly, that's the place we see as people goes in that broad way, is to go to that place of destruction. And it's when we read about it and what it says about it, it's tremendous. And I've always liked to read from 2 Thessalonians because of the way it describes it and puts forth the fact that who is not going to be in the right way, but they're going to be in the wrong way. Notice what he says in chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 7. It says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes ahead and says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. We note here, as we think about the broad way that leads to destruction that Jesus is teaching about in Matthew chapter 7, the way is easy to get into. It's where you're going to be, where you are. And who are they? They are those who know not God and who do not obey the gospel. Sad as we think about it. That's that. But let's just notice further. As we notice in this verse that we were looking at in Matthew, I want you to notice again in that verse again. He says in chapter 7, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Well, who are they? Those that know not God and those who do not obey the gospel. But let's notice then in verse 14. Blessed, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That, of course, brings you down to the thinking about our day and time as we look out at it. You know, I want you to know that we can look in the Gospel of John so many different places, but let's just go to chapter 3 for a minute. In chapter 3, let's look at, begin with verse 1. And maybe go through maybe even verse 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it came and whither there goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You know, as we think about it, in serving God, it's a fact that we must be born again. And if we're going to enter in at that straight and gate and narrow way, the way that the world is not going to see, we're going to have to come to what we see here. It's being like being born again. It's a new life, a different life. You know, and it's a straight and narrow way. That's what we see. Bible speaks of Moses suffering the reproaches of Egypt. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26, living for God is a hard life. Notice in John chapter 15, while we're in John chapter 15, verse 18 and 19. Says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You know, as we look through John just covers so many verses that have to do and in our life and showing what we're to do and what we're not to do. But I think if we're going to be in a straight and narrow way, there's going to be suffering on the sidelines. But what we see, that's where salvation is. Because he said only few be that find it, but certainly there he knows. And notice, back us back up in John a little bit. Let's go back to chapter 5. And here we see in chapter 5, look at verse 24. In chapter 5 and verse 24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Isn't that wonderful as we think about it? Salvation is there, where he was talking about there in our text that we looked at to begin with. You know, he says there, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." We see again, as we think about it, we have security in being obedient to the Lord and doing his will, that we can go in that gate and that narrow way. You know, if we go the right way, it's a way of happiness. Think about it. It's a way of happiness as we think about it, because as we look into the book of Romans, chapter 3, look at verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We have, and all have. And here we can see the security and happiness of knowing that we can have forgiveness by obeying him and doing his will. Notice again here as we think about this. Look in 3 and verse 10. "As it is written, there is a none righteous, no, not one." Oh, what a place. We must realize we are sinners, and God cannot help a person until they see their need. Till we see the need that we are sinners, and we're going to not go in at that straight and narrow road. Well, without a doubt, we know that it takes repentance. Most people know that. And there's several verses that we could read on that. But one of the most powerful verses, I think, is in Luke chapter 13. In Luke chapter 13, we've used it many times, as we see there. Look at verse 3. It says, "I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Here Jesus was talking to the Galileans, whose blood had mangled Pilate there. And he goes on to see, but he tells them in that verse 3, "I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." So we need to understand and know what repentance is. You know, in the book of Acts chapter 2, we find the first gospel sermon that was ever preached, and it was preached on Pentecost, after they had received the Holy Spirit. And in that chapter, we see as Peter is the one that's recorded. And as we look there in verse 38, he says, "And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." What did he tell them? Here he tells them to repent. And without a doubt, every one of them, and that not only every one of them, but everyone today, repent is a change of life. Being born again into a new life. And then here they are to be baptized for the remission of sins. You know, a lot of times people don't know and don't understand that, what they're baptized for. We see it's for forgiveness of that other way of life and all the sins that we were doing. And we change in Him. The other thing I think we might note, we might turn over to 1 Peter, and we might see here in 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read about, let's read it, verse 18 and 19. 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Here we're redeemed. How? By the blood of Christ, not by wealth and things that we might have come down generation in our family, but we are saved by grace, by obedience to the Lord. And that's what he says, we're to repent and be baptized for remission of sins, to be redeemed and go to heaven. You might notice again, back in John, let's just go to the first chapter a minute. In chapter 1, I want you to look at verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What? Believing on the name of Jesus? What does that do? It gives us the power to become a child of God. You know, it doesn't make us one. That's one of the false doctrines that is out there. But it gives us the power to become a son of God. And that's what we want. We want to become a son of God. And we can rejoice when we do so, become a son of God. But we must do what the Bible teaches. As we think about that straight and narrow way down that road, we won't end that road that he's talking about. We won't end it, but we must also know to be in it, we have to obey the Lord and become a Christian. You know, there's just time is about out, but I want you to go back to the original 13 and 14th verse. Enter ye in at the straight gate. I say, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, that broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and there many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now think about this just a minute. Look at verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. We see then, to be in that straight gate and narrow way, we also have to be aware of the fact there are many false prophets out there. And I think we see that in our society. But let's come to the Are you prepared? Are you prepared to go into that way? If you believe in God and in Christ, you have the power to become a son of God or a child of God. But you must obey to do that. If you're interested in becoming a Christian today and obeying that and becoming a child of God, we're here to help you do that. If you have drifted away and need to repent and pray and come back, we're here to help you with that. Ask you to come as we stand and sing.